Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and we're going to take a look at a horror drama movie, Hereditary. It's an independent film. Movie is written and directed by Ari Aster. It stars Toni Collette, Millie Shapiro, and Gabriel Byrne. And the synopsis is, after the family matriarch passes away, a grieving family is haunted by tragic and disturbing occurrences and begins to unravel the dark secrets. And James, what did you think of Hereditary? You are the master of horror, suspense, and thriller.
You have to pay attention. If you do not pay attention, this movie will make absolutely no sense. And I paid attention to this movie, and I think I understood it.
Let me stop you for a second. That point that you just made, I have heard that before. A couple other people have mentioned that.
Regarding this movie?
Yeah, it's kind of like the show don't tell type of filmmaking, and it's kind of vague, but go ahead.
Yeah, you have to pay attention. If you happen to just go to the bathroom or take a sip of your drink or something like that, you may miss something. You may miss something.
I agree.
And the thing is, this movie, to me, isn't that bad, but it isn't that good either. It is a film that has a way deeper meaning, and let me give you the synopsis of what's actually going on. Matt, if I missed something, go ahead and jump in. So it starts off with an obituary talking about the grandmother of the whole family and the mother of the main character, talking about how she passed, and it starts off with the family going to her funeral. One thing I will say about this movie was shot beautifully, in my opinion. Had some nice camera work, but this is also independent film. So usually independent films have pretty good camera work and cinematography. I thought this was well done. And certain camera angles used, certain shots used. I mean, like, for example, I believe the mother was a designer or a person that did like miniature houses and like staging scenes or something like that, because she was just doing things. So the first scene, it zooms in on one of her pieces, and it's basically their house, and zooming in on the bedroom of their son, and then that's when the movie starts, the son waking up to go to the funeral. I was like, oh man, that was kind of cool. One of the positives of this movie, the way it was shot. The mother and the grandmother did not have a very good relationship. They did not get along. It was a strange relationship just from the very beginning. This movie just seemed like the family was already fucked up. This is probably the most dysfunctional family I've ever seen on film in my life. Death was just all over their family. Her father was dead. I think her brother died and mom just died. It was just very ominous from the very beginning. After she passed, they went to the funeral and the family was just there in their own world. The son was a weed head. He was smoking like shit. Throughout this whole movie, I just had a sense of dread. Some fucked up shit is going to happen. And then what made it even more fucked up, and Matt's going to definitely chime in on this, the daughter looked like she was about 40, 50 years old. And she was only 13. She looked old as shit. The grandmother was very involved into the family, but she was also kind of crazy a little bit. And she was really attached to the daughter. So her and the daughter were real close. So after she died, the daughter kind of went into like a slight depression. She was like, who's going to take care of me? And the mother was like, well, I can take care of you. You know, you are my daughter. But she was like pushing her off. At this point, the movie still goes on. It's just very dark, very dreary. The boy had some type of obsession with a girl in his class. I mean, he was fiending for her, all this shit. And he gets invited to a party and the girl happens to be there. And he starts talking to the girl. But, oh, let me back up. He asks his mom to go to this party. And he was like, okay, well, take your sister with you. That was odd to me when obviously the girl's 13 years old and he's about maybe what? 16, 17, and this is like maybe like a senior party or something like that, and she was probably in middle school or some shit. Why would you want to take her?
She had to bring her because she was a deterrent.
Well, yeah, it was probably, yeah. But that deterrent failed because he still did what he wanted to do. He just kind of pushed her off. She ended up going, got to the party. He saw the girl that he liked. He was like, yeah, hey, you smoke weed? I got some good shit. Yeah, I smoke weed. Let's go. And then his sister was like, well, where are you going? And he was like, well, I'm going over here. Can you please just chill? Or, you know, hey, they got cake over there. Go eat some cake. Her eyes kind of lit up with some shit. And she next scene, they were smoking. And the scene after that, the girl was eating some cake. And then she started coughing. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Come to find out, she busts in the room when they were in there chilling, smoking. She's like, I'm having a hard time breathing. So I'm assuming she had an allergic reaction to the cake. It was something that was in the cake that gave her an allergic reaction. We don't know what.
You're 100% right. If you don't pay attention to the film, you miss stuff. remember in the beginning, she was eating a chocolate bar, eating a chocolate bar, eating a chocolate bar. The dad was like, hey, does that have nuts in it?
Oh, okay.
Party, the girl was chopping up the nuts.
Yeah.
She put the in the chocolate cake. Which girl is allergic to?
Okay, good point, because I do remember that now. It's in the very beginning. If you miss something, you're kind of fucked. And I do remember that she was chopping up nuts. I mean, could they even zoomed in on that? They made it known that she was chopping up nuts. They did mention that earlier in the movie when she was eating the chocolate bar. She was fucking up chocolate like shit. But that's a whole different story. So had allergic reaction, and the brother started freaking out, and he was bawling in the car trying to get her to the hospital. Now, at this point, I was like, why didn't you just call 911?
He wasn't trying to get all those folks involved.
Man, fuck all that. You high as shit.
His sister was having an anaphylactic shock. She was allergic to peanuts.
Let Matt chime in. So, Matt, what is your viewpoint on Hereditary?
Had the potential to be one of those Conjuring-type movies. I remember the first time seeing Conjuring, I was, wow. This is what horror movies have been missing for years without being rehashed. Some of the things that this movie hit on was there were parts in the movie that made you feel like, hey, this is what a horror movie should be without using fake CGI. They did, in some scenes, a good job as far as displaying the creepiness or the presence of something evil. In the beginning of the movie, towards the end of the movie, they totally flopped. I felt the movie was clunky. What I mean by clunky is that with Conjuring, it told a fluid story. And the only reason why I'm using Conjuring was because it was those movies that came out of nowhere where you're like, wow, this is actually pretty good, amazing storytelling. This movie right here, like James said earlier, you have to pay attention to very in depth or you'll miss some things. But even then, when I was paying attention to the movie, towards the end of the movie, how are you supposed to get that this was tied to that?
Right.
It didn't do a good job of leading into it at all. And there was a scene in the movie where it seemed like some special effects from the 80s where there's a headless body floating to the treehouse. And when I say it was like some stuff out of the 80s, it was like some special effects out of the 80s. What? What the hell is that? That's when things started getting creepy. The naked people, I was like, okay, that's one thing. But to see a floating body that didn't even look anywhere close to what a floating body should look like in today's society compared to special effects from the 80s. Again, like I said, it didn't do a good job as far as storytelling. Very clunky. It wasn't streamlined. And,
yeah, it wasn't seamless.
Yeah, it just made me scratch my head. And I didn't understand what the hell was happening in the end of the movie until I went home and I went on YouTube to figure out what tied into what. I think if they spent another 6 months as far as storytelling or streamless storytelling, this movie had the potential to be phenomenal. It did. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It had a lot of positives, but then it had a lot of negatives as well. Because, like you said, Matt, the storytelling was off. It was so off. It went from one thing, then went to another thing, then went to another thing. And you're like, well, how did we get here? What happened here? Okay, now you're going back to this, but I forgot what happened here because you went here. So how did all this tie in? And then it comes back later on. It was like, well, you kind of dropped the ball on that. And then you come back to it. And it's like out of sight, out of mind. And you use The Conjuring, and that's a great example because The Conjuring, you knew what was going on. I mean, there were some things in The Conjuring, if you missed something, you did miss something and you was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. But then you could see something later on and it would trigger this. Oh, yeah, I remember now. But because the way they did the storytelling in this, if you miss something and then you continue to watch the movie, what the fuck? And then you think back like, oh, it didn't really trigger it at that moment. You had to actually think about it afterwards. And to me, with movies like that, that's a good thing and a bad thing. I'm not saying that movies like this, you need to probably do a lot more research on it afterwards. Afterwards, if you don't pick up on it in the actual first viewing. I was tempted to be like, try to watch it again just because I know I missed some shit. I refuse to believe that this movie is that
bad towards the end.
Right, because it had the tone that it could have been one of the top tier movies. So it had some tone to it. It was creepy as shit, and it was just simple creepiness. They set the tone so well that they didn't rely on special effects. It relied on just the atmosphere. It relied on just camera work, which to me, and I discussed this in previous podcasts when we discussed the horror movies, that's important. You don't have to have great special effects. If you set the tone the atmosphere perfectly, that's half of the damn job. The other half is the storytelling. And to me, the storytelling lacked around the end. But then I
seems
remember...
Seems like it was a rush. Like the last 25%? Is that how you feel? I thought the last 25%, they said, fuck it. We're over our budget. Let's just...
Yeah, let's just hurry up and get this show with. Yeah. And the thing is, Matt, that is a possibility. But this was a low-budget horror film.
The acting of that one female was phenomenal.
Yes. That is one positive in this movie. The acting in this movie was very good, except the son. He was a bitch. When he left the house from the party and had sister in the car, he was driving off like frantically trying to get her to the hospital. She couldn't breathe and she was doing all this shit. So something jumped out in the road and he swerved to miss what was in the road. But his sister had her head outside the window and he hit a telephone pole or like it was a telephone pole, Matt? He hit a pole and she got decapitated just like that. And you didn't see it, but you knew what happened. You knew what happened. Just zoomed in on his face and you just saw the emotion of just shock. I said his acting was bad. His acting was bad at certain points. This point, his acting was pretty good. But what blew me, and Matt could probably agree with me on this, how do you go home right after that and not say shit to nobody? He went home.
You decapitated your sister. Stopped in the car. You looked in the mirror. You saw some shit was on the side of the road. Your sister was not breathing anymore because her head was outside of the car. Her body was inside the car. You sit there for a minute, and then you drive home, and then you go to bed. It's nothing.
Yeah, that's basically it. He drove home, didn't say shit to nobody, laid in the bed, I went to sleep. Woke up, his mom was going to take the car to go somewhere, and she found the body. And next scene was you basically saw her decapitated head on a road with ants all over it. That was a gruesome-ass scene. Yeah, just chilling. Like a basketball with eyes. Yeah. So after that shit, a lot of weird shit started to happen. A lot of weird shit with this family. Because then the mother was going to grieving sessions once her mom died. The grandmother. And then she was going to sessions explaining how the relationship between her and her mom was estranged and how she was all up her daughter's but she was just into her daughter's life and not really necessarily into her son's life. She took care of her son, and then she didn't go back for a while. And then she went back again. Oh, she was going to go back again after her daughter was killed. And then she just met by this mysterious lady. This mysterious lady said, hey, yeah, you're not going in and all this stuff. And then they become friends. This woman just came out of nowhere because I swear, Matt, you could tell me if I'm wrong, because if you miss something in this, you're kind of fucked. I don't remember her in an initial session. First session when she went after her mother died. I don't remember her in a group session.
No, I don't remember it either. I think that one thing that was used as a distractor was when the daughter was with the grandma, was when there was a guy in the background like cheesing at her. I think that people probably paid more attention to that than the actual girl. So
yeah. So after that, the movie takes a turn. They become friends and all this stuff. And then little nuances start to pick up. She went to go to her house because she said, yeah, hey, I did a seance to reach my son and my grandson. But she had that in common. She also lost a child or was grieving and whatnot. And then she looked down at the bottom of her doorway in her apartment. Was like, hey, my mom did embroidery for welcome mats too. That's interesting. So at that point, you didn't realize how important that was until later on. So I was like, okay, what the fuck, they gotta do anything? You need to do this seance and blah 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 blah. And that's when I knew this movie was about to take a turn for the worse. So she performed a seance to try to talk to her daughter, and her daughter always did sound just like that, did that fucking sound, and it just freaked them out because that was her. Right. It was funny as hell though, because I went to the movies with my wife and my father and mother-in-law, because we went to the movies, and him being him, and the movie was quiet as hell. It was just maybe 8 people in there, right? And it got quiet, and he just made a noise. Just funny as hell. But anyway.
Beast Gang spoilers. Beast Gang spoilers.
I'm just going to fast forward to get to the point. All right. So come to find out, the grandmother was in a damn cult, okay? And the woman that she met was also in that same cult. And a cult was a cult to worship one of the kings of hell, right? Matt, am I missing anything?
Nope, that's it.
The boy, her son, was supposed to be the host for the king of hell. So that's why he was
one of the kings of hell.
Yeah, for one of the kings of hell. So he was being tormented after he killed, well, accidentally killed his sister. Now, I'm thinking that his sister was the original host.
Yep.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure. His sister was the original host. So once she died, that started the whole process of the host transfer into the son. Now, the mother was slowly figuring this shit out, just really into it. But the thing is, no one believed her. Her husband thought she was going crazy because she was actually kind of off a little bit. But then one thing my wife brought up, because she also mentioned that she sleepwalked. She used to sleepwalk a lot. There was a time when the son was younger, she was sleepwalking, and she poured paint thinner on him and was going to kill him and burn him. My wife mentioned maybe subconsciously the mother knew what her son was going to be, and she was trying to kill him before it got to that point. I don't know if that's true or not, but with this movie, nothing's out of bounds. The whole time, the son is being just threatened, haunted, seeing things, being frightened, start slamming his head against the damn table with a damn desk in school, beating himself up. The mother figuring stuff out was like, hey, I know how to stop this. I need to burn this book. She tried to burn the book to stop it before. But then once she started burning the book, she stopped burning herself. And then she stopped burning the book. She was like, went up to her husband, was like, hey, you have to burn this book because if you burn this book, it'll stop everything. She's like, I don't have the heart to do it because then killing myself. And he was like, I'm not going to do this shit. I'm not going to do it. And then she threw the book into the fire and it burned her husband. That is where I was kind of off at. I was like, what the hell's going on? And as soon as she threw the book into the fire, it's like her face just changed. She became like immediately possessed. I'm like, what did she become possessed by, for one? And now her son was home when she was doing all this, but he was knocked out sleep because this is after he knocked himself unconscious from slamming his head on a desk in school. And this is when the shit starts getting creepy. This is the last part of this movie, right? This is the last act. And he wakes up, he goes around the house, and she's just in the shadows, just stalking him. Like, she's up on the ceiling, she's in the corner, and she moved fast as shit. I was like, damn. And it was just very, very eerie, very eerie. He ran upstairs into the attic. And before this, she found her mother's body decapitated in the attic as well, decomposing and all that shit. It's all over the place. You can just tell from what I'm describing how it jumped all over the place. The storytelling was that off, but it had the potential to be great. And she was up on the ceiling, slamming her head up against the wall, like headbutting the shit out. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
I was like, this chick is possessed for real.
Right. And then this made my skin crawl. Matt, you could agree with me. When he was up in the attic and he found a body or he found some shit going on there, his mother, possessed, was hovering above him with like a fucking, I don't know. But she was basically slowly cutting her head off. And her face looked so fucked up. The imagery in this was creepy as shit. I was like, ooh, that was creepy. She cut her own head off. And then you saw all these dead, naked people in the attic and all this stuff. And he just jumped out the window. And in the process of jumping out the window, he killed himself. The weird special effects come in that Matt talked about with the 80s special effects. You see a floating body with no head. And then you see like a reflection or like a light go over his body. And then just kind of goes over his body and just engulfs his body. And then he wakes up. At this point, you realize that he is possessed. And then he goes up to a treehouse where there's people in the damn treehouse, butterball naked, two decapitated bodies in a bowing position towards an idol, a statue. Let's just call it an idol. And that was supposed to be an idol of the one of the kings of hell that he represented. And then the movie ended. That's it.
Weird, man.
It was weird as shit, but it had the potential to be something great. The imagery was there, the tone was there, but the storytelling was so bad. It was just all over the place. If they had better storytelling, this could have been a good movie because they had the tone, they had the imagery, they had the camera work, they had the acting, but the storytelling was just that bad. And I can't compare it to any movie, but all that compared to a movie that I saw was Lords of Salem by Rob Zombie, and how it was a cult and they basically was trying to have a person be a host of an entity, a dark entity. That's the only thing that I could compare it to. And I'm a Rob Zombie fan, but that movie was weird as fuck too. But the storytelling was really bad. Hello?
Okay. I was just sitting
I think Barry should watch it to understand it. I mean, I think it's one of those movies if all of us watched it,
Everything.
I think this is one of the movies that is a divisive movie among the Beast Gang if all of us watch. I really think you two should really watch it.
I will say this. I want to watch it again because, see, the thing about me, I love horror movies. I love horror movies. And this movie to me was not a bad movie, but it wasn't a good movie. And I just want to analyze it more because I think that I refuse to believe it's that hard to get. I just think maybe I missed something. Maybe I was eating some popcorn.
No, it wasn't that. It was clunky storytelling. That's all it was.
No, I agree. I agree. But maybe I did miss something. I mean, there is a possibility that I did miss something. I mean, shit. I don't know. It was just crazy.
What's your score, Jay?
I would give this movie a 3.5. Because it had the imagery. It had the tone. Directing was mediocre. It had good acting, except for the son at certain points. The atmosphere was there. Everything to make it a horror movie, a good horror movie, was there, except for the storytelling. The storytelling was just really not good. Just wasn't good. If they improved the storytelling, they had seamless storytelling that lined up and it made sense, I would probably give this movie a 6. Because it did not, I would give it a 3.5. I would watch it again because I think maybe I missed something. So I would watch it again just because I think I missed something.
The movie 4.5, it does have its highlights as far as setting the tone of the movie, the imagery. Again, the clunky storytelling, the fact that, you know, at the end of the movie, it was a WTF, not because of the plot, but it was not clear. Movies like that, in my opinion, do not get a pass, or you have to do research on it. Give it 4.5. I would not watch it again. It seemed like it was a movie made for, like, sci-fi. There was a good portion of it where you're just like, what is going on here? They didn't do a very good job of storytelling. And that's the whole point why we go to the movies, to be entertained. And it missed totally on that mark, 4.5.
So do you guys have any questions? I'm just curious.
You guys need to watch it.
They're
not going to watch it, John.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We would have an amazing podcast if you guys watched
it. As much as I would like for them to watch it, they're not going to watch it. I already know this. But y'all have any questions? Anything that...
No, I don't.
It was clunky as shit. I'm like, yo, where are we going from this to this? How does this make connections from this point to this plot?
It had the potential to be good. Really good. But it was just because everything was just so out of order. And the thing is, I'm just curious how they could have fixed this.
By taking the time to develop the story. Rather than force feeding it.
I just think that maybe it was just out of order.
I think they should have devoted more time in talking about the cult.
I think
without giving it away.
Well, yeah, they should have done that. Now, there was one point. Okay, is this movie about mental illness?
Thought that too.
Because they were talking about how she was sleepwalking. Mom was kind of crazy, and then her dad committed suicide, or some shit like that. Her brother died, and all this other stuff.
And schizophrenia, yeah.
Yeah, this would make me think that, okay, it's just about mental illness. All right, cool. I get it. I understand.
Beast Game Podcast.
Beast Game.